Chapter 13.
Why are you threatening my father, Carter?
Becca demanded once more.
He's just trying to help.
Shh! I hissed as I placed my paw gently over Becca's mouth. There are a bunch of people outside the house right now.
Who could that possibly be?
Carl asked as he looked around.
Oh, all of our brothers are already here.
Fucking hell.
Leah grumbled as she seemed to realize what was happening.
I bet they're what set off Carter's spidey senses.
So they're dangerous?
Janine asked. As if right on cue, I heard the cocking of guns.
They have guns. Definitely dangerous.
Is it the OLG?
Becca questioned.
They're a bunch of Neanderthals. They probably wouldn't know how to hold a gun, let alone use one.
It's probably the Ancient Order of the Nile, then.
Janine said with a frown.
But how on earth did they find us?
Our tiger's eye?
Leah whispered.
What about it? Shouldn't that prevent them from knowing our location?
It prevents Khonsu from knowing where we are.
Janine gasped as her eyes widened.
These men are servants of Kek. That's probably how he found us on the UC campus as well.
Oh, fuck a duck. We're gonna have to figure that one out soon. Right now, though, we've got a huge problem. We're surrounded on all sides and these men seem heavily armed.
We could use our plants to subdue them.
I appreciate the thought, but I doubt a bunch of small-stemmed flowers are gonna do much good against the heat these guys are packing. Is there any other way out of this basement?
No.
Becca's father shook his head.
Though, I do have a panic room for this exact scenario.
Boyd snapped his fingers, and a large section of the east wall of the basement pulled away to reveal a cave-like room.
That's your solution. Run and hide.
For now, that might be our best course of action, until we thin out their numbers some at least.
If we could get outside, we would be of much more use, Carl explained. There is way more greenery that we could utilize to our advantage, but we're not within range.
If more men arrive, then we'll get you out there to help,
I promised as I pointed between Valerie and myself.
But for now, the two of us will clear out these fuckers first.
Us?
Val asked as she placed her hand against her chest.
You're bulletproof, Val. It kind of comes with the territory.
Shit, you're right.
The brunette woman sighed.
Human shield it is.
Wear turtle shield.
I corrected Val, but she didn't seem amused. Suddenly, we heard the sound of the front door splintering as it was kicked in, followed by the thumping of boots on the ceiling above.
Get to the safe room,
Becca commanded the Brotherhood.
Carter and Valerie will take care of these losers in no time, and then we'll be home free. Are you sure you don't want us to tag along?
Leah asked as she frowned at me.
We'll take care of it. You, Naomi, and Janine, stay back with the Brotherhood, just in case those fuckers somehow get past Val and me.
Be careful, Carter.
Leah sighed as her blue eyes teared up. Then the polywarm turned around and joined the green frock-coated man in the safe room, along with Naomi and Janine. As soon as they were all inside, Boyd summoned his green magic once more, and the natural wood of the wall pulled back together and sealed the group off from the rest of the world.
What's the plan then, Carter? Hopefully nothing complicated, because once I turn into my other form, I'm not going to have the best communication skills.
Thankfully, what I'm planning doesn't involve much coordination. We get up to the top level, take these fuckers by surprise, and then clear the house before we lead everyone else out of the safe room into safety.
So basically what you're telling me to do is hulk out and smash as many of those bad guys as I possibly can?
Valerie smirked.
Sounds good to me.
As I spoke with the were-turtle, my super hearing picked up the sounds of doors opening and closing all around upstairs. It wouldn't be long before they found the basement, so we needed to get topside and take them out while the element of surprise was still on our side.
They're going through the house looking for people. It sounds like there's 10 guys upstairs, and another 10 on the lower level. They're all heavily armed, too.
No problem,
Val said as she slid her nice blazer off her shoulders and tossed it onto the ground.
They're in for a very bad time if they think their puny bullets will do any damage against me.
That's what I like to hear,
I said, and a bit of my werepanther growl purred out from deep in my gut.
Let me just get the rest of these clothes off,
Val huffed as she tossed her shirt away, and then she pulled off her pants. We had bigger issues at hand, so I tried to ignore the mocha-skinned woman's perfect perky breasts that hid behind her navy blue bra, and the fit, toned ass that was pressed against her panties. Finally, Val pulled off her bra and underwear before she tossed them onto the pile of clothes, cleared her throat, and closed her eyes. Her mocha-colored flesh instantly began to turn a dark shade of green as its soft, tender form turned scaly and rigid. Then Valerie's hair seemed to retract inside of her body as her jaw elongated into a thick, triangular beak-like figure, and hard brown scales sprouted out of her back and encircled her body to create an impenetrable shell. Her legs and arms became stubby, though they now had the diameter of a frickin' oak tree, and a small tail hung out just below the bottom of her shell.
All right, Val Turtle,
I said as I bared my razor-sharp canines in a devilish grin.
Go fuck shit up.
fuck shit up.
Val responded in her deep, gurgled voice, and then she turned toward the stairwell and began to lumber toward it as quick as her massive figure would take her.
Meanwhile, I tried to figure out the best way to make my appearance. I heard a few of the men as they rifled through the living room and dining room, and then I heard the sound of shattering glass and falling wood.
Keep looking,
one of the men growled.
This tea's still warm. They've got to be in here somewhere.
I tried to home in on my super hearing and cross-reference the sounds upstairs with what I remembered of the layout of Mr. Bartram's house. I guessed that there were 3 men in the living room, 2 in the kitchen, and the other 5 were scattered around the hallway. Val would be able to handle the ones in the hall with ease, so I just needed to choose between which group I wanted to take out first. In my current position, I was right underneath the kitchen, so I figured it would be my best shot. The ceiling above me was nothing but a simple wooden subfloor, which was covered up above by the tiles of the kitchen. It wouldn't take much effort for me to burst through from below and start smashing skulls, but I needed to make my move now, so I crouched down, summoned all of my strength into my legs, and then leapt upwards. I held out my hands in front of my face as I jumped, and soon I felt myself smashing through the subflooring and tiles with the sound of shattering wood and ceramics. I burst up into the far right corner of the kitchen, just next to the stove, and I instantly found myself in front of 3 men with pure horror stretched across their faces. All 3 of the men looked decked out in combat attire, with black Kevlar vests over urban camouflage, and a bunch of random pouches all over their bodies. The men also wore green neck gaiters over their mouth to hide their identities, though the 3 green squiggly lines that were embroidered into their gaiters in vertical sequins told me exactly who they were. 3 jagged squiggles was the Egyptian hieroglyphic for water. Ha! They were followers of Keck for sure.
The
man on the far side of the room gasped as he began to raise his 9mm pistol into position. Before he could finish his sentence, I scooped down, picked up a broken piece of kitchen tile, and then launched it at him as hard as I could. It shot across the room like a deadly ceramic missile, until the jagged edge stabbed itself right into the fucker's left eye with a wet squish. The man seemed to go into shock as he fell to his knees and dropped his gun. But I didn't have time to see what was going to happen next. The other 2 men in the room were raising their weapons toward me, and I had to act fast. I sprang at the closest bastard just as he raised his gun, but I was on him before he had a chance to pull the trigger. Then I wrapped my left paw around his gun hand and squeezed down hard. There was a sickly-sounding crunch as every bone in the man's hand was pulverized into sloppy pulp, and he opened his mouth to scream, but I wasn't about to let him sound the alarm quite yet. I instantly let go of the fucker's hand before I backhanded him with my right paw, and there was a wet pop as his head twisted nearly 180 degrees on his spine. His eyes rolled back in his head as he started to collapse, but I sunk my claws into his chest and caught him before he fell completely. Then, in one quick motion, I twisted my body around and launched the man's corpse straight at the last guy in the room. The 3rd man had his pistol up to his eye and surely had me in his sights, but the incoming body smashed into him before he could squeeze the trigger. The man let out a gasp of frustration as his friend's body slammed into him and knocked him back against the refrigerator, and he frantically tried to get his pistol back up before I could make my move. He was way too slow. I sprang over to the 3rd fucker's position and sunk my canines right into the squishy flesh surrounding his skull. There was a sickly crunch as the muscles of my jaw broke through his bones like an overripe watermelon, and the taste of metallic blood and gooey brain matter flooded into my mouth. My opponent collapsed to the floor as the life left his now headless corpse, and I spat out the gore before I turned back to the 1st man. He was face down on the ground, surrounded by a pool of his own blood, and completely limp. That hunk of tile must have done its job perfectly.
Derrickson?
One of the men in the living room called out.
Is everything okay over there?
Fuck. For half a second I wondered if I could Han Solo my way out of this one, but I quickly realized that wasn't an option. Instead, I used my stealth padfoot ability to dash across the tiles without making a single sound, until I got to the threshold that separated the kitchen and the living room. Just as I got there, another armed, gaitered man rounded the corner, and his blue eyes grew as wide as dinner plates as he stopped in his tracks.
"Where, Pat?"
he began, but I quickly silenced him by slashing my claws across his throat. Blood sprayed out of his neck like a freaking geyser as he began to gurgle on the liquid and hopelessly tried to apply pressure on the wound. He choked as he fell over to the ground and started to convulse, and then he went limp as the light went out in his eyes. I peered around the corner and into the living room, where I saw two of the other armed men standing before the massive window in the living room. Their backs had been turned to me at first, but the sound of their comrade's falling body seemed to draw their attention. That was when I heard the sound of the basement door splintering off its hinges, followed by a throaty, gurgled roar. Welp, so much for stealth.
What the fuck?
One of the men at the window gasped as they both raised their guns. I jumped out of the way just as the men fired off a few rounds from their 9mm, and I heard the bullets zip past my head as I rolled out of the way to safety. As I came up, though, my invisible eye set every nerve ending in my body on edge, and that was when I felt the sting of a fucking taser baton right at the back of my head.
Die, bastard of best!
The third man in the room must have been hidden, because I hadn't even noticed him, until he already had the flashing taser pressed right against my flesh. My vision seemed to shake like mad, as every muscle in my body tensed up and threatened to lock, but I pushed through it, let out a roar as I reached behind me, and grabbed onto the hilt of the baton with my right paw. I was able to use my sheer strength to move the taser away from my body, and then I gripped it tight as I yanked it forward and over my head, along with the man who was holding onto it. He yelped as I threw him and the taser across the living room, and the man crashed into the giant TV and shattered the screen into a million pieces. My opponent was still alive when he hit the ground, but not for long, and his taser lay broken next to him. I dove out of the way just as the two other men took a few more shots at me, and then I rolled up onto my feet and pounced forward. I remained close to the ground as I bounded on all fours, until finally I lashed out at the nearest cultist's left leg with my fist. Both his fibula and his tibia snapped like twigs when the sheer force of my blow slammed into him, and the bones popped out the side of his flesh as he went down on one knee. Then, before he could retaliate, I unsheathed my claws and delivered an uppercut right to his jaw. However, I made sure my nails stabbed into his flesh as I punched, and there was a massive geyser of blood as I tore his head clean off his shoulders. The remaining man took a few more shots with his pistol as I stood to my feet, and I was just barely able to flip up and out of the way before the bits of metal could tear through my body. I discarded the head in my hands onto the floor before I sprang forward, and then I sunk my claws into my opponent's stomach. He screamed as I lifted him off his feet, and gravity did all the work for me, as my enemy's body was pulled downward toward the ground. My claws cut him open like a stuck pig. Blood spilled from his mouth as his abdomen was opened, and his organs plopped down onto the floor with a warm hiss. He feebly tried to raise his gun again, but it was too late. His eyes rolled back in his head as he went limp, and I tossed him to the side. Off in the hallway, where Val had just emerged, I heard the sounds of frantic gunfire, followed by the screams of the men the were-turtle cut down. But I couldn't focus on Val's plight, because there were still 10 more men upstairs, and they had surely heard all the commotion down here. As I dashed over to the stairs and prepared for the second wave, I heard the sound of approaching footsteps up above. So, in one quick motion, I tore off the wooden top of the stair banister, held it over my head like a javelin, and waited for the first sign of anybody to appear on the landing above. Sure enough, one of the foolish bastards started down the stairs, and by the time he realized I was waiting for him, it was too late. I launched the banister forward as hard as I could, and watched as it skewered the fucker right through his stomach. He yelped as the momentum of the projectile tossed him backward, but then two more armed men appeared at the top of the stairs and began to fire down upon me. At the same time, the remaining 7 assailants crowded up onto the landing with all of Boyd's plans, leaned their guns up against the railing, and started to rain hell down onto my position.
Oh, fuck, fuck, fuck,
I growled as I flipped off the stairs and then took off toward cover. Dozens of bullets slammed into the ground around me as I zigzagged, rolled, and jumped out of the way of the incoming attacks. And soon I was able to take cover behind a nearby wall. I knew Mr. Bartram's house was pretty well built, but there was no way this wall was going to hold up against the hailstorm of bullets that I was currently encountering. I needed to try and take out some of those bastards on the balcony before I was completely pinned down. Thankfully, Valerie was on the case.
No, 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 no!
A man screamed as he came rushing out of the hallway, covered with the blood of what I could only assume were his fallen comrades. Valerie's thunderous footsteps came seconds later, and then the were-turtle herself appeared.
Val!
I hissed to my friend. I could use some help over here!
Still one left.
Valerie growled as she pointed a scaly finger to the man who was now running away.
I'll get him! There are 9 more men upstairs, all of which are heavily armed.
You in trouble?
The were-turtle asked.
Yes, Val!
I chuckled as more pieces of drywall and wood splintered around me.
Yeah, I am definitely in trouble!
The were-turtle let out a gurgled roar as her tiny yellow eyes narrowed, and then she stomped over to the staircase.
What the fuck is that?
One of the men gasped.
I thought Keck's beloved were on our side!
It doesn't look like it's on our side!
A second man snarled.
Take it down!
For the glory of Keck!
Another one screamed. Several of the men seemed to turn their guns on Valerie as she stomped up the stairs, and I dared to peek my head out just enough to see the massive, scaly turtle woman start to ascend the stairs. Every gun in the place went off with a concussive bang, but Val didn't even flinch as the bullets ricocheted off her body and into the walls and floor nearby. Meanwhile, now that their attention was off me, I wanted to go on the offensive. But first, I needed to make good on my promise to Valerie. So I needed to kill that fucker that was trying to run away. I jumped up from my position and then bounded after the fleeing cultist. He ran down the same hallway from which he and Val had emerged, and I saw him right as he dashed down into the basement.
This was going to be fun.
The poor bastard had no idea he was a sitting duck down there. I ran down the hallway in a flash, and then I rounded the corner and sprang down the stairs in a single bound. My invisible eye alerted me to danger just as I landed at the foot of the stairs, and I used my momentum to flip up out of the way as a few bullets peppered the wall where I'd just stood. When I landed upright, I saw the man standing there with his 9mm at the ready, and his hands were shaking with fear as he faced me. The fucker squeezed off a few more rounds as I dashed toward him, but I was able to roll away from the projectiles before they were able to make contact. It only took me another few seconds to reach the assailant, so I tossed up my right foot and slammed it into his chest. The man let out a loud yelp as the blow snapped his ribs like dry tinder, and the air seemed to get sucked out of his body as he was thrown off his feet. The cultist flailed like a rag doll as he shot across the room, until his momentum was finally stopped against the basement wall. He slammed into it with a hard crash, and then he slumped forward onto the ground, unconscious. But unconscious wasn't going to cut it. I ran forward, raised my right foot, and then let out a snarl as I stomped on the fucker's head. His skull exploded underneath my foot like a rotten pumpkin, and chunks of brain matter and bone fragments flew across the floor as his blood splattered all over the floor and walls. Once I was done with the coward, I ran back over to the hole in the kitchen floor, crouched down, and jumped back up to the first level of the house. I could still hear the gunshots going off upstairs, so I figured Val could use a bit of help. I came around the corner just in time to see a man come flying off the upper balcony and slam into the ground so hard that he cratered the damn floor. The man trembled and wheezed as he tried to stand back up, but I decided to put his broken body out of its misery. I grabbed the man's head between both of my paws and then yanked them both to the left at the same time. There was a wet pop as the cultist's neck snapped, and his eyes rolled back in his head as he crumpled to the ground.
Guns no good!
Valerie snarled from above as she lumbered toward another terrified man. Fucking hell, she looked like the killer in a slasher movie. I was really glad Val was on our side now. I watched as the man unloaded an entire magazine into Val's chest, but he may as well have been shooting her with a super soaker. In a last-ditch effort, the man tossed his pistol away, drew a rather large knife, and then attempted to plunge it into the were-turtle's chest.
Die, you crazy bitch!
He growled. That went about as good as one would expect. The knife snapped when it hit Val's rock-hard skin, and she just stared down at the man with a look of confusion. Then he pulled out another pistol and blasted a few more shots at Valerie's head, but it was no use. Valerie roared with anger as she scooped up the cultist in her hands, lifted him up above her head, and then used her brute strength to rip him in half. He screamed as blood began to pour out of the holes that appeared in his flesh, but she continued to pull until finally there was an explosion of gore as his body came apart, and all of his internal organs splashed down onto Val's head.
Taste bad,
the were-turtle said as she spat out the blood and viscera that had rained down onto her body.
Is that all of them, Val?
I called up to my lover.
Yes.
Awesome, I grinned. Just stay up there, in case we forgot anybody, and I'll go get the others.
Stay here,
the were-turtle pointed to herself.
You get others.
Valerie gave me a slow nod, so I headed back into the kitchen. This time I simply took a running jump toward the hole in the kitchen floor, and I landed down in the basement silently. Then I rushed over to the spot where Boyd had hidden everyone in the wall before I knocked repeatedly.
It's me, guys! All of those ancient Order of the Nile fuckers are dead!
After a few seconds of silence, the wall started to glow with dark green nature magic, and the boards that made up the safe room slid away to reveal all of the Brotherhood, plus Leah, Naomi, and Janine.
We could have helped, you know,
Leah grumbled as she stepped out of the space.
There wasn't much room to maneuver up there,
I explained, as I started to help each of my allies out into the main room.
You would have all just gotten in mine and Val's way. No offense.
Lots taken,
Naomi teased with a playful smile.
Just promise I'll be able to get in on the next fight.
I don't think that'll be a problem. Val's still upstairs, but we need to get you all out of here before any more major shit goes down. The neighbors will be calling the cops at the very least.
No need to worry about that,
Naomi smirked.
I already put a cloaking spell over this whole house. I did it the second we walked in.
Why would you do that? Unless you thought there was going to be a fight when you... Oh, my word. You thought you were going to need it against us, didn't you?
We always take precautions. Don't take it personally, Boyd.
We've had some bad experiences with cults,
Janine said with an apologetic wince.
Please forgive us.
There's nothing to forgive. You didn't harm us, and we didn't harm you, so it is all just water under the bridge.
It won't be if we don't get out of here soon,
I reminded them all.
We need a safer spot to reconvene and talk further, somewhere that isn't likely to get attacked by Keck and his cronies.
And we need to get a bunch more Tiger's Eye gems, and some Lapis Lazuli. If we're really going into an alliance with these men, they will need Bast's protection as well.
Lapis Lazuli? What's that for?
To hide ourselves from Keck. The Tiger's Eye only keeps us safe from Khonsu, but Lapis Lazuli is associated with the water the God of Chaos dwells within. We'll have to double our inventory of hexed gems if we want to stay out of both of their sights.
Let's hope the next god that tries to kill us isn't represented by diamonds or anything. That'd get expensive in a hurry. Now, let's all get to our cars. Then we can rendezvous back at Cincy's Jewel, okay?
Whatever you want, Carter.
Becca nodded.
The Brotherhood is now bonded to you and your friends.
We all went up the stairs and then into the living room, where Val was fiddling with the broken TV.
No work,
she said with a sad frown.
It's okay. The one back at our home is just fine.
Oh, shit.
Carl whistled as he looked around at all the carnage.
You guys did a major number up here, didn't you?
We did what we had to do,
I said before I turned to Becca's father.
But I am sorry for all the destruction, Boyd. You had a very beautiful house.
Oh, they're just things, Carter.
Boyd shrugged and waved me off.
They can be replaced. You protected my daughter and my brothers, and that is the only thing I truly care about.
I smiled at the old man, though in my Werepanther form I wondered if that looked happy or just scary as fuck. Either way, we began to head out toward the front door. Then the invisible eye hit me like a ton of bricks.
Wait!
I hissed, as one of the members of the Brotherhood started to step through the hole where the front door had been.
Something's wrong.
Did you forget somebody?
We not forget,
Val growled and stomped her foot.
We thorough.
Okay, Val.
The platinum blonde held up her hands.
Jeez, I didn't think you'd be even more grouchy as a giant turtle, yet here we are.
Then I heard roaring engines as they tore down the road. There were more men coming.
Everybody, there are others coming.
Should we head back to the safe room?
Boyd asked with a twinge of fear in his voice.
I don't think so,
I said as I shook my head.
There's a lot of them coming, more than Val or I could probably handle on our own.
Plus, we'll be outside, Daddy,
Becca reminded the old man.
That's kinda our element.
Then I got an idea.
Can we fortify this place?
I asked the Brotherhood.
Fortify a suburban house? Carl scoffed. I don't think we could do that in the amount of time we have.
Not with metal and boards and electricity. With your plans, could you build defensive walls and shit like that?
That's not a bad idea,
Becca noted, before she turned to her father.
Daddy, have everyone use their magic on the grass in these trees.
And do what?
Boyd asked with a furrowed brow.
Grass doesn't make a good wall, my dear.
No,
the platinum blonde explained.
But it makes for good cover. The trees can be widened out to create walls of branches. You could turn it into a makeshift thicket. And the roses would be good for defense as well, if you enlarge their thorns, of course.
Boyd looked around at his brothers, who all seemed to be frozen with fear.
All right, my brothers,
he began in a trembling voice.
We are non-violent people, but I believe we are at a rare point where Nefertum has called upon us to take up arms. Listen to the child of the Panther Mother, for he will guide us to victory.
The engines in the distance were now only a few blocks away, and I knew our time was limited. Thankfully, it didn't take the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus long to get to work. They all bowed their heads as they began to speak in a different tongue, and soon the entire yard of the Bartram home was lit up with green magic. The grass around us elongated into a 6-foot-tall field that would give us great cover, while the trees started to sprout dozens of more branches, which then pulled across the front of the house and stretched out behind it. Before we knew it, we were surrounded on all sides by the forest. And just in time, too, because the cars revved up to the front of the property and then came to a stop. I'll check it out. I want to know what we're dealing with. I got down on all fours and then traversed through the field of grass, and thanks to my stealth powers, I moved like the wind. I eventually got to the edge of the wooden barrier where I finally stood up and revealed myself to our enemies. As I did so, my heart fell into my stomach. There were at least 15 cars, all of which had armed men who were stepping out and checking their weapons. Each of them wore the same faux military-style outfits as the men who'd attacked us, but they weren't the ones I was worried about. On top of the hood of one of the cars sat a gangly green figure with long, matted hair. Keck. And right next to him was another creature I didn't recognize, though I instantly knew he was bad news. The creature stood at least as tall as me, and he wore a shiny gold-plated breastplate across his wide chest. The damn beast had a red, elongated face with two upward-curved ivory horns jutting out the sides of his head. And around his neck was a thick mane of black fur that also traveled up the back of his skull, and then curved around into a widow's peak on his forehead. His muscles were the size of a human's head, and on the end of each arm was a set of 6-inch-long claws. The monster's feet had massive hooves, and a tail waved back and forth behind his body as he stepped in front of the car. The second he did so, Keck stood atop the hood and tossed out his arms wide. Then the god of chaos quirked his head to the right, before he opened up his mouth and let out a long, echoing shriek that chilled me to my very core. After the battle cry was over, the men all turned to the lion-ox hybrid and bowed.
"For the glory of Keck, the mighty Ashtel Khan!"
they chanted in unison. Ashtel Khan, the right hand of Keck, and a demigod known to completely tear through villages in ancient Egypt all by himself. Ha! Yeah, things had just gotten a whole lot worse.